Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice. Oh, come thou day, spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, 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 Emmanuel. Shall come to thee, O Israel. Desire of nations by all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice. Shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, 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 Emmanuel. Shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King, and let every heart prepare him room. In heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, or thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found, as far as the curse is found, as far as the curse is found, as far as the curse is found. He the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Well, Merry Christmas. Uh-oh, my tuner's breaking. So I may be a little out of tune here. Hope that's okay. All right. I'm going to do one more, if that's okay with you guys. So this next song I'm going to do was written back in 1861. Anybody remember what happened in 1861? Yeah, well. What significant event began in 1861? The Civil War began. Yeah. So, there's a lot of similarities, really, between kind of what the country was going through back then and what the country is actually going through now. So there was a guy whose son fought for the Union Army and wrote a poem called Christmas Bells that we know as I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Anybody familiar with that hymn? I came across this song. I've been singing it since I was a kid, but I never really, paid attention to why it was written or learned the history on it. But so this guy, who wrote the poem was kind of watching what was going on in the country, and he was seeing the division and the hatred and the fighting, and, I can just imagine him kind of stepping outside on his porch and hearing the bells on Christmas Day and writing this poem. And he writes this this one very kind of dark part of this song that I never sang as a kid when I got to sing the hymn. But it says, "In despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And I thought, man, that sounds a lot like our world right now, does it not? Like the division and the hatred and the politics, you know, two political parties clashing and people choosing sides. And it's very reading these words, it's almost prophetic to where we are today. But we, as God's people, if we choose to live in the kingdom of God, we have to embrace reality, right? Most of our world feels hopeless because it refuses reality. The reality is that Jesus came to bring hope. Jesus came to bring healing and wholeness to the world. And Christmas is a time to celebrate that hope and celebrate the unity and the wholeness that Jesus is bringing in our midst. Even though it may not seem like it in our world, and we look around us and we see destruction and frustration and sickness. We're in the middle of a pandemic that seems to shut down the world and bring so much hopelessness with it. But the whisper of the gospel in the midst of this season reminds us that Jesus came to bring hope and healing. And we can have that. We can embrace that today. We can choose to be hopeful. Or we can choose despair and anger. Division. We're coming out of 4 years of seeing the pot of racism being stirred up by a leader that many of us have sat back and just sort of been appalled at some of the things that we hear coming out of the White House, right? And for a lot of us, the marginalized, the people who who are struggling to get by. We hear those words and we see the color of our skin. And we become afraid. We've lived in fear. We've lived in fear of being forgotten, being left behind by society. And you know what? We have a new president, but that's not your hope today. That's not your hope. That's not your redemption. That's not your inheritance. You already had a hope and an inheritance all along. And it's Jesus, because we are out here today. We come out here and we meet out here on this corner of 22nd and 4th to remind each other, to preach to each other that we have hope, that we can have wholeness, that we can have healing. Right? That we can believe that Jesus changes everything. That Jesus changes everything. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, the old familiar carols play, oh, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong, mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail will. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Jesus, thank you so much today, God, that for this time of year, for this moment, God, that we celebrate that you came to bring healing and bring hope in the midst of hopelessness, to bring joy in the midst of sadness, God, to stand in solidarity with human beings, with humanity, God, in death and in life and in resurrection. God, we celebrate that today in the reading of the word, God, as Keith shares with us today. Father, would you speak? God, would you bring healing? Would you bring hope to our lives today, to our hearts, to each one of us today? God, would you bring unity to your people today? In your name we pray, amen.
All right. Well, good morning. So I think, man, look at you. I think I'm going to be brief this morning. It's always dangerous to say if you're about to open the word, but I think I will be. I want to tell you, there are few things better to me than Jesse Crow on a Sunday, but Jesse Crow on a Sunday at Christmas time, that's another level, man. I love that. Thank you, brother. Let's just pray real quick before I get started. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us, and just be honest, kind of led me an unconventional way this morning of what we had planned, and so we just trust that you have good intentions for that, for our hearts, and just so many good conversations this morning with brothers and sisters out here this morning, and you're at work already in this place. Your spirit is just here. We feel that. We sense that. Just, again, just several good conversations this morning, already proof of that, and so we just pray your blessings over this time as we sharing the word just a few moments this morning, and there's a lot of voices that have been spoken over this crowd. I know that from experience. I know that the enemy speaks. I know that the life situations or curses or maybe those that should have had our back in our lifetime, family or friends, those that were close to us that have spoken against us of shame or condemnation or a feeling of I can never belong. Holy Spirit, we pray that your voice speaks the loudest this morning, even the voice of our inner self that maybe just says I'm just not good enough, or I've got to clean myself up, or I've got to work my way to some. Will you just quiet all of those voices and speak the loudest, even if it's a whisper? This morning, Holy Spirit, we just need you in this place, in this city, in this county, in this state, in this nation, in this world. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I want to do something I had not planned to do, I'll be honest, until yesterday. We've been in the Gospel of John for quite some time, and look forward to picking back up on that. And I'm going to be in John, but I felt led to rewind all the way back to the beginning. I want to tell you this up front. Next week, we are going to celebrate Christmas as a church at Southside Family. If you've ever been with Christmas with us, I think we've been at this now. This will be our fourth Christmas, and started way back over on the other side there. You guys know how that's done. We have gifts. We have a big meal. We celebrate just like families do when they gather together for Christmas. And we celebrate the greatest gift ever, right? Amen. That Jesus came and lived a life that we couldn't live, died a death we couldn't die, right? All of those things, rose from an empty tomb, all because of this birth in a manger. We will gather together and celebrate that as a family next year. More on that later, how all that will work, and we'll tell you all those things, but you want to be here next week, okay? So we'll celebrate that, and spoiler alert, we're going to get into the Christmas story. We're going to talk about that. But as we've been in the book of John, I just felt led this morning to rewind a little bit. So I want to take it back to the beginning of the book of John in John chapter 1, and I just want to read a few verses and share a few things that God's put on my heart this morning. So will you pray for me as we do that? Kind of a little different of rewind this morning. Start back to the beginning of the Gospel of John. I think when we were teaching, we were even teaching back down in the corner there. A long time ago, we were in John chapter 1, but I want to read that this morning. And here's why I think God put it on my heart. Next week, we're going to celebrate as a family this birth of Jesus in the manger. And conventional wisdom would say that is the beginning of Jesus. That is the story. That's where it all takes place. But I want to tell you, it's much more beautiful than that. Amen, Charlie? We were talking about it. that long before, my brother Freddie, we was talking about this, right? Before the dinosaurs, right? We said, long before, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dreamt of you. Dreamt of you. And Freddie, man, he preached to me over there, and I'm telling you, I'm still fired up from it. We're getting him to preach to you because it's good, but masterpiece, every one of us. I still got that on my heart, brother. I'm just thinking about it because it ties in so, but you didn't know it, but it just ties in so beautifully where God had us this morning. But before all of that, before Jesus pops on the scene and like born in a manger, I want you to know what was taking place was the most dramatic and most beautiful rescue mission of all time. Who doesn't love a good rescue story, right? That, I mean, we see it on the theater screens all the time back when we used to kind of do those things, you know, when you go to a movie theater. But we used to see it, and we used to see that either the damsel in distress or the country that's in peril or whatever, but the hero comes in to save the day. I want to tell you, there is no greater rescue mission ever in the history of humankind than what is taking place in the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 1. Well before Christmas morning, I want to read to you the words of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's such a just amazing verse. There's so much just in this one verse. We could read one verse and literally just talk forever on this, that in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. If you're here this morning and you are an all things, you are everyone, you are someone, that is you. You were created by Him, through Him, and without Him, Jesus. Without Jesus, there was not anything that wasn't made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Can I tell you, we live in a dark place. This world is a dark place, but can I tell you what is the light? Is Jesus and those who carry Him with them. I want to tell you, even people driving by, walking by this morning, even those that have no idea what's going on here, see something of beauty. Folks of all kinds gathered together, different walks of life, different backgrounds, possibly even different beliefs, but gathered together, made possible by the One who in the beginning was and was God and still is today. Continues on, says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is the Gospel of John, but it's talking about John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. That's still our job, amen? That all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but He came to bear witness about the light. Some of us out here maybe put too much credit on the church at Southside or this church or that church or this pastor, that pastor, this person, that person. Let me tell you, the only thing that matters in this place is that we are here to bear witness about the light. No man, woman, boy, or girl will take any credit beyond that. We are witness about the light that is Jesus Christ. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the story, right? That Jesus is going to have this rescue mission, that He is going to come into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. The very Creator Himself coming to be a part of His creation, yet the world did not know Him. Same today, some of us in this parking lot know Jesus, some of us do not. Good news is it's not too late. He was in the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own people, and they did not receive Him. But listen to this, here's good news. I want you to listen this morning. I want your spiritual ears to perk up at this, okay? I want you to hear the most beautiful news ever told, the good news, the gospel. But to all who did receive Him, talking about Jesus, not your good works, they're like filthy rags, the Word says. Not your religion, not your church membership, not some kind of scale that you got to tip in your favor. It cannot happen. But to those who will believe in His name, He gave the right to become not just saved, not just skating in by the seat of their pants, not just maybe you can measure up or maybe I'll grant salvation and then you've got to clean up and don't mess up again, right? Not some worldly standards. Listen to what he says. But he gave the right to become children of God. Everyone here, everybody look this way, even back in the back there. I want you to look for me 1 second. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're doing or what you will do. It does not disqualify you from being a son or daughter of the King of Kings. That's the good news. If you've never heard that, if you've never heard the gospel in that way, that is the good news that in the beginning, well before the beginning, that you were dreamt of and dreamt in a way that you could have a relationship, not as a hired hand, a servant, but as a son or daughter. The King of Kings. Man, you don't feel loved. I don't know what will make you feel loved other than that. You were born not of blood or not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Can I just be completely honest? I've said it this way, and I hope God forgives me if I'm out of bounds here. Long before mom and dad ever put on a Marvin Gaye record, you were thought of. I'm just telling you, if you don't understand what that means, if you're a child here, I'm sorry, ask your parents later. But I'm telling you the truth. You were dreamt of by a holy God, not by the will of man or woman before mom and dad ever thought about it. You were created by God. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go off script even more and tell you this morning. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 139, says this: intricately woven, made in the depths and the secret, fearfully and wonderfully made, handcrafted by God. That means you sitting on a rail, sitting on some asphalt, standing in the parking lot that says, oh, but you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Created, intricately woven in the depths and the secret, fearfully and wonderfully made. He gave the right for you. Can I ask you something 1 second? I don't even care if you're using an alias this morning. If you hadn't ever told me your real name, that's fine. If you go by a nickname, that's fine, and you don't want to say it. Just under your breath this morning, I want you to say your name out loud. I want you to say it. He gave you the right, your God-given right. Listen, we talk about freedoms in this country, and that's great, but I want to tell you an even greater freedom is freedom in Christ, the right that you have to be a child of God, and all you have to do is bow the knee. You don't have to work for it, don't have to earn it, can't lose it, amen? The right to become a child of God. And so this beginning, the one that was the Word, the one that was God, the one that was with God, all that he still is, it says this: the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what we'll celebrate next week. Emmanuel, God with us. We have seen his glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Talking about John the Baptist, he bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me, the ranks before me, because he was before me. And from this fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. I love that saying. It says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, but now he has made him known. In other words, we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. So here's why I share this morning. So far in the book of John, Charlie and I have taught in this, and we said in the beginning that there were seven of these I am statements. So far, here's what we've heard. We've heard five of them. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. You're hungry, come to me. I'm the light of the world. This dark place, if you want to light this place up, I am the light of the world. You sheep out there, if you want to enter in, I am the door, right? I am the good shepherd. Remember that visual of even the gate that we go through is Jesus, and then the good shepherd laying down in front of the gate is this extra protection, and the good shepherd that says, not only will my life be laid down, but I lay it down willingly for you. And then lastly, we heard him say, I am the resurrection and the life. Here's why I think God led me to this place, and I'll say this in closing. I think next week there are going to be a lot of churches, a lot of families that gather together, and they're going to share the Christmas story. And it's going to be about sweet baby Jesus laying in a manger, and it is a beautiful story. But it is so much more than about a baby and shepherds and later on wise men and all the things that go along with it. It is the story that in the beginning, really, you want to bake your mind before the beginning, that this God created you and I for relationship. And not just relationship as in by the skin of our teeth, but relationship as children of God, sons and daughters. I want to tell you, I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it when I think of this. My son's here this morning. My daughter had somewhere to be. I want to tell you, there is zero that they can do to not be my son or daughter. If you're a mom or dad here, you feel the same way, right? They could divorce you and run to the uttermost parts of the world. Beyond DNA, there is something in me that says, though, doesn't matter what they say or what they do, they will never stop being my children. Can't happen. Just can't. There's that bond that's there. I'm a sinful earthly father. If I can get that, I'm telling you, you have not gone too far. You have not gone too far. Somebody needs to hear that today. I'm just telling you. Start with me. I need to hear it. Joe, I'm thinking back to one of your favorite songs that Jesse sings, right? We know that one, Jesse. You played it a bunch and a lot of times at Joe's request. There is nothing that he will do. Nothing won't stop coming after us. The old term, man, he's in hot pursuit, right? Right now, he's in pursuit of your heart. Will you pray with me this morning? Just as we go into this Christmas season, as we think about it next week, I felt so led to go to that place and say, you know what? There was a beginning even before that. Already in motion for you to have a relationship with him. And man is paid for. Paid for in full. He won't stop coming after you. I don't care if you reject him today, he's going to still pursue your heart into relationship. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we just love you. We thank you for a grace that is that good. We thank you for your mercy that looks on us no matter what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do, that Jesus, you will not stop coming after our hearts. This whole in the beginning and was God and was with God and still are God, all of this is for relationship with us, that you desire intimacy with us, that you, Father, desire to look on us and say, through Jesus, not of your own works, not of your own good deeds, not of your church membership, not of tipping the scales, none of these things, but because of the grace and the mercy, that grace, that unmerited favor of Jesus, that you look on us and say, son or daughter, and I believe, say the same thing, Father, you did to your son, Jesus. This is my son, this is my daughter, that I am well pleased. You love us. Intricately woven, the psalmist says. Intricately woven, knitted together with time and great detail. The things we hate about ourselves, you look at and say, I love that about you. I created you that way. I don't know why you took me here other than to say that someone, starting with me, needs to hear this today, that we are infinitely loved by you, Creator, Father, God, and that you desire relationship. Christmas, this idea of Jesus being born in a manger, is all about relationship, an invitation to come and to sit at your table. A seat that never goes away. We always have a seat at the table. The church at Southside says that all the time. When we see folks that have been gone 6 months, they say, man, I'm sorry, but you always have a seat at the table. That's just so small compared to having a seat at your table, though. A seat at your table, not as a hired hand. A seat at your table, not as an outcast, shunned, as whatever walk of life we've come from, whatever sin we're currently carrying or carried in the past or addiction or any of that. We sit there, if we can imagine even the nameplate reserved as son or daughter of the King of Kings. That's the Christmas story. That's the gospel. No matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing, what we will do, Jesus, we thank you that you won't stop coming after us. Someone needs to hear that today, and I pray that if they don't know you today, my brother Marcus said it so good months ago. I'll never forget that day. I knelt in my heart in this parking lot and gave my heart to Jesus. Will you let someone do that today if they've never met you? If they've met you and they walked away, or they feel like they've lost it or got to earn it, just remind us. Can't. Nothing we can do to stop being a son or daughter in Jesus' name. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about relationship. That's what we choose to celebrate in this place. Not religion, not good works, relationship. Jesus, thank you. I pray that over hearts today, that you just continue to bless and speak. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being in this place today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is not a man or a beast, nothing on the ground or underneath, oh, nothing that could ever come between the love you have for me. I could lay my head in Sheol, could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep, oh, but there is not a place I could escape you. Cause your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. There is not an angel of the star, there is not a devil in the dark, oh, nothing that could change the way you are and the love you have for me. I could lay my head in Sheol, I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep, oh, but there is not a place I could escape you. Cause your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Oh, your heart won't stop coming after me. And I could lay my head in Sheol. I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep. Oh, but there is not a place I could escape you. I could lay my head in Sheol. I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep. Oh, but there is not a place I could escape you. Cause your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Oh, your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Amen.